Welcome to Market View with Ike Iosa and Friends. This show that not only reveals and analyzes the inside story on today's market news, but also uncovers the areas where investors can make money right now.
Good morning. My guest is your host for my VS, my very good friend, Dr. Marvin Appel. Hi, Marvin. How are you?
I'm great, and I'm enjoying the bull market.
Usually when we talk about the intermediate term, but I'm going to ask you something before we get into the charts about today's action, because it really has my attention. I'm looking at the S&P, which is up like 0.70 right now, and the NDX is up 1.25%. At the same time, when I'm looking at the internals, the up issues versus the down issues at NYSE are like 1-4, and at the NDX, 1-3. So when I see this action just by the S&P and the NDX, and looking at the internals, it really makes me nervous. Any thoughts on that?
I'm a little bit less nervous, and we'll get to that in the charts, but I agree. I think that the market has a vulnerability because of the narrow participation. But that said, I think the negative breath, as we'll discuss in the chart, has probably gone a little bit too far. So my expectation, being cautiously bullish for 2024, is that the market, the laggards, the small caps and such, will catch up. Obviously, so could we be in a late 1999 situation where there's an underlying rock that as soon as they knock out, as soon as the Magnificent Seven, get some kind of comeuppance, that everything comes tumbling down? Yes, that's possible, but that's not what I view as a likely scenario. So what I think is, it is a narrow market, and that's a little bit worrisome, but I think the more likely outcome is that the big guys will stall and the little ones will catch up. That's my base case for 2024.
All right, great. Let's talk about our first chart. The SPY.
Yes. So yeah. It's your observation is a very interesting one. But this is still this is where I do most of my ETF trading, is with SPY, and I like that, because every once in a while there is a reversion. Right now, again, it's being led higher by the mega caps. But when there's a rotation into the smaller caps, SPY should at least hold its ground. Whereas if you're making too much of a bet using QQQ or OEF or something like that, you're exposing yourself to more volatility. Talking about fragility, so interestingly, first of all, what the good news here in this chart is that the New York Stock Exchange AD line has sort of confirmed the new high in price. The cumulative breadth is not a whole lot higher now than it was the recent peaking cumulative breadth was not a whole lot higher than it was in late December, but at least we're not seeing a real divergence between breadth and price. We're seeing a confirmation. So, today's action is kind of strange, to see the kind of gains we're seeing with 3-4-1 negative breadth. You point out that's strange, but in the intermediate term, breadth is tending to confirm price. So that's the good news. The mildly worrisome thing I've circled here is we have a negative divergence, that the price made a new high, is making new highs, but MACD is not. So that's a negative divergence. In the setting of other bullish factors, and I should say that my equity model is still bullish, so I'm fully invested in equities. So I think any correction is going to be limited, as it was, for example, at the end of December, or even the August talk to October 10% correction, which was somewhat painful to live through. I don't think we're going to see anything worse than that. I think that the intermediate trend, let's say for the rest of this year, it for now remains up again. So I'm going to be a little bit talking out of both sides of my mouth, but the resolution is that I'm still cautiously bullish. I wouldn't be taking profits now. But so we have this negative divergence, and we have MACD kind of overbought. So the market is overbought, not breadth indicators, but price indicators are overbought. And if something knocks the market for a loop, my model could go to a sell signal, because we're starting from such overbought conditions. That's not what I'm expecting, but that's a possibility. So I would say cautious bullish. I certainly would, you know, if someone said they wanted to take profits, I wouldn't say no, that's not what I'm doing. But you know, we're in an overbought market that's still holding its ground, so I'm expecting a modestly profitable year. Certainly not expecting a replay of 2023.
All right, how about our next chart, which is the equal weight S&P, the RSP?
Right, so this kind of gets to your point, which is, you know, this is more like a breadth indicator. I mean, it is just 500 stocks and often has behaved, even though it's the same 500 as in the S&P, because it's equal weighted, it's actually behaved sometimes more like mid-cap than a large cap. But two things to note in this chart, that the price itself, unlike the S&P 500, is far from a new high, right? We still haven't bested the high that was made like the first day of 2022. So again, a testament to how weak the broad market has been compared to the mega caps. What I find is interesting is the middle chart, which is the ratio between the price of RSP and the price of SPY. So when that ratio is rising, it means RSP is stronger. That is to say, market participation is broad, you know, more favorable for the broad market than for the cap weighted, the mega caps. And when it's falling, it means that the mega caps are stronger. For the last year, I mean, that's a very dramatic lagging by the equal weighted. I mean, we saw that at the start of the pandemic in 2020, when, of course, there was a huge rotation into the mega caps and out of everything else. You can see what happened in 2020. But 2023 was also quite dramatic. And I've circled this year, actually, just the first month of the year, pretty dramatic lag for, the equal weighted versus the cap weighted. In fact, year to date, SPY is was up about almost 3%. And whereas RSP is only up 0.3%. So we're really seeing a big divergence, and this is not historically normal. The reason why I say I'm a little bit optimistic that the broader market will catch up is that we are right down at the same relative strength oversold level that we were at the depths of the pandemic. And there's no obviously law of physics that says it can't, small caps or the broad market can't continue to lag. But looking at where the relative strength bottomed out in 2020, we're at the same relative level now. And so I think that soon, the breadth disparity that you pointed out, especially today, is going to resolve itself. And I think market breadth and will continue to confirm prices in a bullish way. And I think that the market participation will broaden. It may mean that the mega cap will stall and the advance will be, in the hands of smaller stocks. So that because we're so oversold on this relative strength breadth level, that's why I think it's going to end soon.
Okay. How about our next chart?
The theme for my bond market chart is that I think that the Federal Reserve, maybe I'm giving them too much credit, but let's just say a combination of the Federal Reserve and the performance of the U.S. economy, I think they're going to nail the soft landing. And that's what the bond market is telling me. If looking at the ratio of tips versus notes, which is the thick black line in the bottom part of the chart, you can see that the peak, when that's rising, it means tips are stronger. That means investors are fearing inflation. And when it's falling, it means that inflation fears are receding. And the peak inflation fear was about a third of the way into 2022. You can see now that I actually, again, this relative strength has fallen back. The 10-year break-even rate is about 2.2%. And it peaked at 3%, let's say about 2 years ago, but 2.2%. So in other words, the Treasury market is betting that the Fed is going to hit their 2% target. And the reason why I say that is that these tips are based on an inflation index called Consumer Price Index for urban consumers, CPI-U, whereas the Fed uses a slightly different inflation index, which I think tends to run a little bit lower. So basically, the 10-year TIPS market is betting that the Fed is going to hit their inflation target. And right now, TIPS have, especially in the last 3 months or so, TIPS have lagged regular treasuries, nominal treasuries. And so for investors looking to, if you want to add to treasuries, to your treasury position, Tips, I think, are a good way to go. So, I think you see, we seem to be, at least as far as the relative performance is concerned, at a support level. And economically, when the TIPS market is giving you inflation, a real yield of 2.2%, in the range of the last 20 years, that's still on the upper end of that range. I mean, yes, if you timed it perfectly, you would have got 3% real yield, which is awesome. But to get more than 2% real yield from a 10-year TIPS is by historical standards, an attractive buying point. So if you like treasuries, TIPS, I think, are a good way to go here. Upper the top half, it looks to me like, let's say, over the past 15 months or so, that treasury yields have defined a range for themselves between 4.25% and 3.35%. And so I think that's where we're going to be. So treasury yields themselves, I think anything at 4% or higher for a 10-year treasury is probably relatively good price, but I don't see long-term yields continuing to rise. In fact, I would not be surprised to see them fall back to the 3.35% level. So the way I would make the decision for myself, and so what I would advise the listeners, is the yield on the Treasury, which, as we're speaking today, is about 4%. If that meets your financial yield, I mean, financial needs, then buy it at 4%. Yes, we touched as high as 5%, but I don't think we're getting up there anytime. So that's kind of what the bond market is telling us, that the Fed has gotten inflation expectations under control, and to a point where I think Treasury inflation protected securities offer a relatively good value, especially if you're looking ahead against inflation.
How about our next charge, which is the high yield bond spreads?
Right. So this is the other half of the equation. Is yes, they've got inflation under control, but are we at risk for a recession in doing that? Obviously, today's employment numbers were unexpectedly strong. So in the near term, that says no, there's no sign of a recession. But even looking at the longer term, this is the spread between junk bond yields and treasury yields, and right now we're at about the 3.4% level, and that is, as you can see, at the low end of the historical range of the last 20 years. So the junk bond market has a good record of signaling upcoming economic danger. Certainly every recession has been preceded by a rise in the spread, which we're definitely not seeing now. And even milder slowdowns like 2015 or 2018, were preceded by rises in the spread of junk bonds to treasuries. And right now, clearly the trend in that spread is lower. So the junk bond market is voting with its feet, optimistic about the economy. And that's why, a lot of people say it's going to be a recession. Clearly the bond market is not showing any signs of that. So I'm not worried about a recession. I'm not worried about the Fed overdoing it. Right now the bond market is telling us that inflation expectations are modest, yet the recession risk is also low. So I think that between the economy resolving its supply chain issues and the Fed raising rates at an appropriate pace, I think things are working out well.
Okay. And how about our last chart, HYG?
HYG. So as someone who puts the majority of my own capital in bonds and bond funds, including used technical analysis, the fact that interest rates are now at normal levels after some 15 years of being artificially suppressed, it's a great thing. So I still like high yield bonds, and I still like floating rate bond funds. The trends in both are up. Obviously, as we just saw, the spread on high yield bonds is a little bit on the low side, so you're not well compensated for the credit risk, but right now the trends are still favorable. Our high yield bond model is still on a buy signal and likely to remain that way for I would think months. So I like high yield bonds and I like floating rates. Floating rates are the best thing for when the Fed's raising the Fed fund rate. That's obviously not in the cards anymore, but they still use, they still have attractive yields. So what does this chart show me? I like to use, when I'm charting the bond market, I like to use the 6-19 week MACD. If it's above zero, that means the trend, whatever you're plotting, is up. So if I'm doing a 6-19 week MACD of the price, it means the trend is up. If I'm doing a 6 to 19-week MACD of an interest rate. That means that the trended interest rates are up, so obviously you interpret those signals opposite, but yeah, it's the same underlying reality. The underlying reality here is that the 6-19-week MACD for HYG price is up, so the price trend in high yield bonds is favorable. So that's a good thing. Again, same as the stock market, HYG is clearly overbought. You know, this MACD is at a high positive level. I mean, you can see there's been a huge run up in high yield bond prices since I think the end of October, early November. So that's obviously not going to continue, but we don't need it to continue. We just need it to go sideways. And price-wise, HYG is at the low end of its historical trading range for the last 5 years. So it's not a bad time to be in this, in these things, and that's what I like. The SEC yield on this ETF is 7.25%, which again is good by the standards of the last 15 years. Not good by the long term standards. You know, going back to the '90s and eighties, what high yield bond funds used to pay. But you take what you get. 7% is still quite an attractive yield. So I do like the below investment grade area for bonds. 4% treasury is what I consider to be borderline. I think that's a fair value. So if a risk-free investment at 4% meets your needs, buy the tips. That's what I would do. But many investors, you know, maybe want to try to get more than 4%. So go with the below investment grade products and take advantage of the currently favorable price trends, which I expect is going to continue. I wouldn't be surprised to see a year where we don't get a sell signal, because the economy is doing quite well and the Fed is not going to. The Fed is done raising rates, and yet the economy continues to be strong. So it's not a bad environment for corporate bond investors.
Marvin, anything you'd like to add?
Well, I'm sure we're going to talk several times before the election, but. Election year seasonality, the first half of election years on average has tended to be kind of flat. So the fact that the S&P 500 is performing so strongly for the first 5 weeks of the year is a pleasant surprise. But I would not be surprised to see the pace of gains slow down or stall. And, you know, I think that the crucial period is going to be the third quarter when, depending on how the market does, is going to be, at least historically, been a good predictor of how the election turns out. So. People often ask me if one candidate or the other better for the market, and my answer is I don't know. It's the other way around. Is the market better for one candidate or the other? And that'll be interesting to see in the third quarter. The other thing that's amazing to me is that the bond market has now become as volatile as the stock market. So you think of a bond as a quiet investment, but that just is not the case anymore. You know, the bond ETFs today are moving like by a solid percent. You know, that's a big day in the stock market, and it's happening in bond ETFs. It's crazy. So and again, ironically, we think of junk bonds as risky and treasuries as safe, but the volatility is actually in the treasury market. Junk bonds tend to be less volatile on a day-to-day basis. So it's a crazy world, but at least with interest rates as high as they are, which I would say is, you know, historically normal level, it's a world where investors have opportunity. So hopefully my optimism this year will be rewarded.
Marvin, thank you. Have a great weekend.
Thanks.